This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So many lessons to learn from Hajj. And it's interesting because Hajj is a pillar of Islam, one of the five pillars upon which the religion is built, yet the majority of the ummah will not have an opportunity to experience it. It's very strange. A foundational element of the religion of Allah, yet the majority of the ummah will spend their life having not had a chance to perform Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَىٰ كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. Allah commands Ibrahim alayhi salam to make the call for Hajj. So he made it in the empty desert, and Allah allowed his voice to reach all the people. But then Allah says that they will come to you from every deep and distant mountain highway to perform Hajj. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ, so that they may witness benefits that are theirs. So there are lessons and benefits from Hajj that even if we don't go, we can still learn from and live by. Nowadays, with Hajj being easier to access with the transportation that we have, but think back just 70 years ago, when you may be bidding farewell for the last time in your life, seeing someone as they embark on a months-long journey to traverse wherever they're going from to get to the Kaaba. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. There are benefits that are theirs for them. And so in today's khutbah, I want to share with you Hajj for the non-hujjaj. What can we take? What can we take from the journey of Hajj? And we start with the ihram. When the hujjaj wear the ihram, the men wear the two white cloths. Now the sisters wear their normal proper hijab, but the men, they wear the two white cloths and nothing else. And it's a very stark reminder immediately as you enter into Hajj that Hajj is a dress rehearsal for the Day of Judgment, Al-Akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, كَلَّا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِيَ وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاقُ وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقُ وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمَسَاقُ. Allah says, when the soul will reach its throat as it's about to leave the body, وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاقُ, who will save you? وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقِ, and the one who is dying, whose soul is leaving, realizes that the moment of death has come. وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقِ, and then one leg will be wrapped to the other in the death shroud. Two white cloths. So what all of us will, that's our end. We will all be in that same moment. So when you enter ihram and you're wearing the ihram, it reminds you of your ultimate goal and purpose and your ultimate destination in life. And that's why when Allah talks to the Hajjaj and He tells them, وَتَزَوَّدُوا, as you prepare to go for Hajj, prepare your provisions, your medicines, your clothing, your whatever you need. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. But the best provision for Hajj and the best provision for life when you meet Allah is to have taqwa of Allah, an awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we learn from Hajj two lessons immediately. The lesson of having taqwa in your life, and that's your most important provision. And the reminder that, just as the Prophet ﷺ, he told us, أَكْثِرُوا مِنْ ذِكْرْ هَادِي وَالْلَذَّاتِ, frequently remember the destroyer of pleasures, death. Think about Akhirah, think about the time when you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after the Hujjaj enter Ihram, they begin saying the very powerful slogan, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ لَبَّيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَبَّيْكَ إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. Again and again and again, thousands of times, for almost 48 hours roughly, they are saying the talbiyah again and again and again. Here I am, O Allah, to serve you, here I am. And we're hearing the stories from the Hujjaj right now, how they don't have guides, and the food today, Arafah, was spoiled, and many got food poisoning, and the transportation, and the mutawwif was fired, and all these issues. They don't have a hotel, and they don't have... Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. No matter what test comes my way, I'm here for you, O Allah. Nothing will distract me from my goal of earning your pleasure. And the Hujjaj say the talbiyah so often that when they leave, it's literally ingrained in their heart from the moment they come back home. The rest of their life, they live by, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ. If you're diagnosed with an illness, a terminal illness, you lose a loved one, you lose your job, you're tested in whatever it is with your children or your family or your spouse, whatever it may be. When you have an opportunity to earn some big money, but it's through haram. Whatever it is, the talbiyah rings through your head. Before I stood up for the khutbah, after my first hajj became a practice of mine, I say, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, to remind myself, this is for Allah. Your life is for Allah. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. My life, my death, my sacrifices, everything is for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Right? So the talbiyah reminds you that no matter what comes your way, no matter what circumstances you face, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ, I will always keep my focus on you, O Allah. I will not allow my heart to be distracted by dunyawi matters that can pull me away from you. And the Hujjaj then proceed to Mina, and they spend the day in Mina on the 8th, which was yesterday. And then today, they go out to Arafah. And they've now completed Arafah. And Arafah, what a day is Arafah. The Prophet ﷺ, he said about the day that there is no day more than the day of Arafah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees his slaves from hellfire. A day in which the Hujjaj are freed from hellfire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَإِنَّهُ لَيَدْنُوا ثُمَّ يُبَاهِي بِهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ. Allah draws close to the Hujjaj on the day of Arafah, and he boasts of them, he is proud of them to the angels. And he says, مَا أَرَادَ هَؤُلَاء. What do they want? Which is the next lesson we learn from Hajj. What is it that you want? What is it that you want? When it comes down to it, when it boils down to it, your life that you live thus far, 50 years, 40 years, 25 years, what does your actions testify to what you want? Not what you claim you want. You say you want Jannah. You say you want to be saved from hellfire. But what does our life up until this moment now say about that question? It's an important question you have to ask yourself. Because Allah asked the angels and He knows. What do the Hujjaj want? فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقُ. Amongst them are those who say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Oh Allah, give me dunya. Give me something in this world. And they have left the hereafter, so they have no portion of the hereafter. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. But there are those who say, oh Allah, give us in this world good, oh Allah. We need this world to get by. But oh Allah, also give us in the hereafter goodness. And oh Allah, our ultimate desires, وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Save us from the punishment of the hellfire. So Hajj, one of the lessons we learn is that it reorients your prioritization in life. And the Hujjaj, on the day of Arafah, the day the mercy of Allah descends like no other day, the most magnificent day of the year, the Prophet ﷺ, as the sun was setting, he told Bilal ibn Rabah to tell the Hujjaj to settle down so he can address them. Then he tells the Hujjaj, مَحَاشِرَ النَّاسِ أَتَانِي جِبْرَائِيلَ آنِفًا. He says, oh people, Jibreel alayhi salam has come to me just now. وَأَقْرَأَنِي مِنْ رَبِّيَ السَّلَامِ. And he conveyed salam from Allah to me. And then he says, وَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ غَفَرَ لِأَهْلِ الْعَرَفَاتِ وَأَهْلِ الْمَشَعَرِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven all the people on the day of Arafah. All the Hujjaj who are there in Arafah, Allah has forgiven them. وَضَمِنَ عَنْهُمُ التَّبِعَاتِ. And all the evil consequences of their deeds, they have been protected from. Allahu Akbar. And so Umar al-Khattab, he heard this and he said, oh Messenger of Allah, هَذَا لَنَا خَاصَّةٌ. Is this bishara? Is this good news that Allah has forgiven all the Hujjaj? Is this for us, the Sahaba, the 100,000 with you? For our generation, our time, the Hajj with the Messenger of Allah? He ﷺ says, هَذَا لَكُمْ وَلِمَنْ أَتَى بَعْدَكُمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. This is for you. But this is also for every single Hajji who comes after you to the day to Arafah until the Day of Judgment. What an incredible manifestation of the mercy of Allah. And then the Hujjaj, they leave to Muzdalifah. That's where they are right now, as we speak, in Muzdalifah. And Muzdalifah is open plain, the world's biggest sleepover, as they say. 2 million, 3 million people all sleeping in one place in one empty plane. No roof, no shelter, no fancy bed, no fancy bedding, no clothing, no fancy mattresses and the like. Just laying there in the open land, and it reminds you of simplicity. And it reminds you again of the Day of Judgment, as we talked about with the Haram, that all the people gathered in one place, and the Day of Judgment, people all be gathered in one, Ard al-Mahshar, on the land of the gathering. So it reminds us again, simplicity. Disconnect from this dunya. The Hujjaj are sleeping there with nothing. Izhad fi dunya yuhibbak Allah. Be disattached from this dunya, Allah will love you. Wazhad fima inda nas yuhibbak an-nas. And be detached from what the people have, and the people will love you as well. So it teaches us simplicity as we spend the night in Muzdalifah. And then the Hujjaj, they go to the Jamarat. They leave Muzdalifah and they go to the Jamarat. And they still throw 7 pebbles at Jamaratul Aqaba on the 10th day. The next action they will be doing, insha'Allah. And what is the significance of this? We know when Ibrahim alayhi salam was commanded to slaughter his son, and Shaitan came to him and told him, hey, he tried to distract him and prevent him from doing so. So Ibrahim took 7 pebbles, not a bazooka, not an RPG. He doesn't need an assault rifle. Just a small pebble, and with the words, Allahu Akbar, Shaitan is defeated. So when Shaitan comes to us, we have to seek the same thing. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Those who have taqwa, the provision of the hereafter. إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. Those who have taqwa of Allah, when shaitan comes to them, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah lifts the veil and allows them to see clearly. So shaitan is very weak. He says in the Day of Judgment, مَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِّن سُلْطَانِ. I had no control over you. إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. Except I just told you to do this sin and you did it, you answered. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي. Don't blame me today. Blame yourself. We're learning that shaitan has no control over us. إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ سُلْطَانٌ. لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٌ. My slaves, you have no control over them. So make dhikr of Allah, remember Allah to protect you from shaitan. We learn shaitan is weak. And then when Ibrahim a.s. went to slaughter his son Ismail, the sacrifice that many of you will be doing, what do we learn from the sacrifice? He put his son down, he put the knife to his neck, and then the ram came to offer the replacement. It wasn't that simple. If only it was that simple. His only son who he had, Ismail, he had after he was over 90 years old. Imagine the love he has for his son. If I was asked to slaughter my cat, I wouldn't be able to do it. Your own son. And he puts the knife to his neck, and then he begins to do the slitting motion, but Allah doesn't allow the knife to cut. Now tomorrow when you go and do your qurbani, if you try and cut the animal and it doesn't cut, what do? You either sharpen the blade, you make sure it's sharp, but if it's already sharp, then what do? You cut back and forth, you push harder to make sure it'll cut the neck. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, with his own son in front of him, with his own hands, he is moving the knife back and forth, and with each slitting motion, he's moving harder and harder and harder to fulfill the command of Allah. And when he did that, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ وَلَدَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمَ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. Then he fulfilled the promise. So Ibrahim alayhi salam did not slaughter the sheep that day. But what he did do is he slaughtered his nafs. He slaughtered his nafs. And the lesson we learn from the Hujjaj is that when you make the sacrifice, you are sacrificing any desire you have, any philosophy you have, any idea or leaning or practice that you have that is contrary to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what you do when you sacrifice the animal. It's not لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. The meat doesn't reach Allah. The blood of the animal doesn't reach Allah. وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. But it's the taqwa of Allah. The awareness of Allah as you do the action that reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So brothers and sisters, today, sacrifice your nafs and be with the Hujjaj in spirit and such that I will no longer follow my desires anymore. I will submit myself to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Hujjaj, they shave their hair. And when they shave their hair, it's subhanallah. You know, when you have a newborn child, what do? You have an aqiqah. You slaughter an animal and you shave their hair. And similarly, the Hujjaj, they slaughter the animal and they shave their hair. and they return, they're hoping to return. مَنْ حَجَّ فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ رَجْعَ كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. The Prophet says, whoever performs hajj and doesn't have any illegal, any relations with their spouse or perform any sin, he comes back like the day his mother gave birth to him. So you perform the sacrifice, you shave your hair, you're hoping that for every hair that falls, as the Prophet said, your sins are being erased. And then the Hujjaj go to Tawaf and perform Tawaf around the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 7 times. Why 7? Why not 5? Why not 3? Why not 4? We learn submission again to Allah. Hajj teaches you submission again and again and again. And in 20 minutes, I can't share with you all the lessons of Hajj, but... And what you learn from Hajj is as you do 7 circuits around the Kaaba, you are like, you're orbiting around the Kaaba. The Kaaba is the center of your existence at that moment. And similarly, Allah should be the center of our existence, of our lives. Every day, our circuits we do in the day, we wake up, we go to work, we come back home, we spend some time with the family, we go to sleep. Tomorrow, rinse and repeat. The same cycles we do every day, with a few variations. Tawaf is the same, it's the same cycles every day. But with each cycle, you're centered on the house of Allah. With each day of your life, you're centered on Allah. Is my life being lived for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then you go and perform your sa'i between Safa and Marwa, as Hajar alayhi salam did, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when she was searching for help for her son Ismail as he's starving, laying on the ground. And you learn faith from Hajar. You learn tawakkul from Hajar. Trust in Allah from Hajar alayhi salam. When Ibrahim left her and she says, Allahu amaraka bihada? What are you doing, Ibrahim? You're leaving us in the middle of the desert. No food, no water, no vegetation, no people. It's just me and my baby. Did Allah command you to leave us? Ibrahim said, yes. Then he said, إِذَنْ لَا يُضَيِّعُونَ. She said, then Allah will never forsake us. So you learn faith from our mother Hajar alayhi salam. These are just some of the lessons of Hajj that we can take in our lives and implement to live the life of someone who has performed Hajj, even if we have not yet done so. Because many times there will be many pilgrims, but few Hujjaj. We ask Allah to give us tawfiq. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I'll end simply with a statement from Ibn Rajab رحمه الله تعالى. He says, من لم يستطع الوقوف بعرفة فليقف عند حدود الله الذي عرفه. He says, whoever is not able to stand on the day of Arafah, then let him stand at the boundaries of what Allah has forbidden. And he says, ومن لم يستطع المبيت بمزدلفة. And whoever doesn't have the ability to spend the night in مزدلفة, فَلْيَبِتْ عَلَىٰ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ لِيُقَرِّبَهُ وَيَلْزِمَهُ. Then let him spend the nights that he has in the worship of Allah and the obedience of Allah. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَقْدُرْ عَلَىٰ ذَبْحِ هَدِهِ بِمِنَىٰ. Whoever doesn't have the ability to slaughter the animal in Mina, فَلْيَذْبَحْ هَوَاهُ لِيَبْلُغَ بِهِ الْمُنَىٰ. Then let him slaughter his desires so that he can reach his ultimate desire, which is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ الْوُصُولِ لِلْبَيْتِ لِأَنَّهُ بَعِيدٌ. Whoever isn't able to reach the house of Allah because it is far, فَلْيَقْصِدْ رَبَّ الْبَيْتِ. Then let him intend, let him live a life to reach the Lord of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّهُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. For indeed Allah is closer to him than his jugular vein. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا ربنا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. Oh Allah, we ask you to bless us with the ability to visit your house, to perform Hajj. And oh Allah, for those of us who have not done so, we ask you to allow us, and those of us who have done so, to implement the lessons of Hajj in our lives, to live a life of taqwa, a life of simplicity, a life of tawakkul, a life of faith until we meet you, oh Allah. Allahumma ameen wa aqim as-salah.